Mike Bisaglia here from SeavillePodcast.com. You are about to listen to Runcast, a weekly form of everything running, with your host, Mark Lorenzoni, a community running expert who has been directing hundreds of area for nonprofit foot races and coaching thousands of runners for the past 30 years. Walking on a dream.
Everyone, and welcome to this week's Runcast. Thanks for joining us. Hopefully get a few things out of this for you today and recognize a few locals and talk about some upcoming races. We're in the it's the postseason mode for high school and college. UVA is off to regional championships this weekend in Bloomington, Indiana. That's a beautiful campus, by the way. One of my favorites of all of the Big Ten schools, and gorgeous campus. You ever saw the movie Breaking Away? It was a film, but part of it was filmed at the IU campus. But anyway, good luck to Jason Vigilante and their gang this weekend. And next step beyond that, of course, is the national championships. And then single A, double A, triple A public schools are all Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday this week will all be in a competition for their regional championships. They're coming off of the districts. Congrats to some of the kids, or a lot of the kids that did well last week in their districts out at Albemarle. Adam Visake, he's the guy to beat in his district in the 3200. He took the blue ribbon quite easily, a slightly slower day for him, and didn't have to push as hard. Competition wasn't quite as tough as he'd been seeing in some of these big meets he's been in, so congrats to him. Summer Shepherd took first in the pole vault. Those are the blue ribbon winners, but kind of the more spiritual blue ribbon winners are kids that you don't often see in the box scores or obviously in the results. They don't score for their team as high, but they're having season-ending PRs. Aileen Eichelberger from Albemarle, she started the season out in around 250 for 800, slowly but surely dropped that down to a very competitive 229 to finish off, or maybe not finish off. Maybe she's still got some more going this season, but certainly that's a great time. Big, huge jump. Alec was pointing her out to me yesterday. And then Zach Robinette, a time that, you know, may on the surface not to be a big deal all through high school. He's been trying to break 450. And finally, in the last meet of his high school career, he runs 449. And I got to believe for that kid, that was just as special as someone. And for him anyway, personally, for what he can do with his body, it's like someone else, like an Alan Webb, breaking 4-minute mile, right? Doesn't get quite the attention and isn't quite as sexy. But congrats to Zach. And over in the western side, Kelsey Pittman, Kate Pugh was pointing this young lady out to me the other day, and I'm very impressed. Only in her second ever 800 race, second ever, she finished second at the district in a really stellar time of 2:23, and she's only a sophomore. I hate using that term, only a sophomore. I find myself getting frustrated with parents and adults and coaches that say things like that. This person's only a freshman. Can you only imagine what they're going to do when they get older? It's hard for us fans to keep that kind of excitement, those kind of cliches, down a little bit. But anyway, it does bode well for someone just in her second race, runs 223. You and I right now could not go out and run a 223 half.
Oh, I know.
Right now, all out. Unless we were maybe being chased by, you know, something that was making us terribly scared.
No motivation to move.
Yeah, that's really fast. And so congrats to her. We had the Bright Stars 5K last weekend. Jay Wilderman, Terry Higgins put on a great show. I'm sorry to say I'm seeing this race dwindle in numbers. This is a race that's been around for 10 years. It's a fundraiser for a great after-school program through the county schools. Terry has run this race for years, 10th year, and she was just saying the numbers have come down. And we're seeing this a lot with when we, Cynthia and I first moved to town back in the late 70s, there were three races a year, and slowly throughout the years, it went to 20 and then 35 and fit. And we hit the 50 mark. I thought, wow, 50 races a year, almost one a week. Pretty impressive. Now there's 85 races a year. Most of them are not for profit, meaning that all of the funds, 100% of the funds are being directed back to charitable causes. That's over $500,000 a year goes back through those not for profit events. And they make up the brunt of those races. But there's just a ton of events, and there's some fallout. This race, Bright Stars, was peaked it in the 150s, 170s, and she told me she had 50 runners, 52 runners, and that's a shame. But anyway, congrats to Gabe Rivard, 1642, men's champion. He was well ahead of the field, both male and female. But on the female side, the women's side, Kerry Hendricks, 2159, and barking right up behind Leah Connor. Really, really tremendous improvement over that. We talk about it quite often. 2106, she was a 7 ticks behind. A very good runner in Kerry Hendricks, so congrats to both of them. Getting it right, Elizabeth Helmke, she's in the marathon, half marathon training program for the Shelster Track Club. And speaking of, that is still open. If you were so inclined, Mike, to want to do a half marathon this fall, I've told you that you're perfectly capable of that.
Right.
Perfectly capable, actually, of doing a marathon, having done the 10-miler program, still open. We do it through the Shelster Track Club. And things actually physically kick off on June 25th, but we're getting people revved up now. But anyway, they're required to do a 2-mile time trial. It gives me an idea of what someone's current abilities are, capabilities, potential are for the marathon or half marathon. And I must tell people, you've heard me, we say it every week, redundant theme, negative splits, going out slower. So you give them a little talk, 8 laps on the track, what's the big deal? Well, you can screw up 8 laps as much as you can screw up a marathon. So I tell them, think of the first lap as the first 3 miles of the marathon. Go out slow. So Elizabeth's trying to break 16 minutes. She goes out at 2:02. That's an 8:08. That's 16:16, right? You got that number in your head?
So far, so good.
Pace.
Yep.
She runs 15:15. She runs 7:37 pace.
Wow.
That's her average. So you can only imagine what she was doing for those last 7 laps. If she
right.
went through at 2:02, which is 8:08 pace, she ends up averaging 7:37 per mile. Beautiful. Getting it right. 2-mile time trial there. I've been on the track a lot lately, and I wanted to touch on track etiquette. We moved over to Charlottesville High School because the UVA track is now being renovated. It's awesome to see all those piles of dirt over there and the equipment there and the bulldozers and trucks. Oh, I love it because what's it leading towards? Probably going to be the nicest facility.
Exciting.
When UVA does something in the renovation mode or building mode, they really do it right. And this is going to be the jewel of that sports complex. We've talked about it. Fantastic. But so we've been over at Charlottesville every week, and I had 6 time trials, actually. We ran for the track club for this marathon, half marathon training program. And there's 2 things that are a big no-nos. One is when you get in the inside lane, anybody can be in on that inside lane, lane number 1. It's totally cool for you to be there. But like the German Autobahn, I call it the Autobahn rule here, you got to shift, make way for someone faster. So if somebody comes up behind you, so if I'm running laps on the track and, Mike, you come up behind me, it's a polite term. All you say is track, which means just step aside. Step aside means just move over, shift over to your right to lane 2, and let the person go on through. Very much like the highway, it's old as the hills, and nothing
right.
frustrates me more than see someone in that lane and not willing. You're not even almost oblivious to people, someone walking in there, worse. And I've got nothing against walkers, so no sound bite. Taking out of this and saying, Mark doesn't like walkers. I did not say that. I said, if you're going to walk in lane 1, realize that you are getting in people's way that are faster than you. So, move to lane 2 whenever somebody comes up behind you. The other thing is dogs. Dog lover. Anybody ever over my house? Place is packed full of Jack Russells. I've been a dog lover since I can remember. Crazy about them. Track is not the place for them. They urinate there. They do their duty there. They get in the way there. And they're just not meant to be there. So, there's plenty of places in this community for dogs to go, but that's a big no-no. And I saw a dog one time up at the UVA track, relieve itself in the number 2 fashion on lane number 3. And I thought, and the person just kind of, kept on walking. And I thought, unbelievable. I think I've seen just about everything. You take a photograph and send it to David Letterman and say, this is where, are we eroding as a society to this level? So, come on. So,
I've never had that experience. I do remember being on the track one time and someone was walking their dog and they were on the leash and it sort of just took up like
to
the
lanes.
It just made it, you're almost doing hurdles now because you gotta jump over
and
the leash.
And I continue to hear arguments from a very small percentage of the population, but the talk back, of course, is I have a right. And we don't have a right. We don't have a right to be rude. We don't have a right to get in people's way. We don't. We're taught this as little kids. I hate to keep preaching about this, but, we're trying to get along as neighbors and citizens, fellow citizens. This is, track is a sacred place as far as I'm concerned. It's like a baseball field. You wouldn't stand on first base when people were trying to
exactly
even play a practice game and say, I'm not getting out of the way. Somebody would say, what's wrong with you? And yet in track, we're you know, it frustrates me greatly that we don't treat the sport of running with the same reverence we do other sports. And I'm a big defender of that. So anyway, we had the RMR banquet last week, our annual banquet. That was really fun. We had it last Wednesday evening. We celebrated with our athletes, celebrated with their friends, and we celebrated with our community partners. We have about a dozen community partners, people that have supported this team to afford the opportunity for these young athletes, post-collegiate athletes, to go to the next level with their running. As we've talked, we have two right now that have qualified for the trials, Donnie and Louise. And we gave out two big awards during the evening in addition to a bunch of nice gifts and had a fun time with the kids. I call them the kids, being double their age. Donnie Cowart got the captain's award. We don't have an official captain. We have two teams, a middle distance, which Donnie's on, and a distance team. And we give it to annually. This is only the second banquet we've had, so the second annual, to someone who really is committed to being kind of the organizer and the, you know, sure, ringleader and come on, let's get this done, get that done. And then we gave out our Community Partner Award. The 2011 Community Partner Award went to Matt Hegemeyer. Matt Hegemeyer, wonderful guy, wonderful family, wonderful wife, wonderful kids. But he has a wonderful business called FSR, for System Resource. And they do all of our silk screening, all of our embroidery at no charge for our team. And you think, what's the big deal? We have 18 athletes. Every time we get a gym bag made up for them, every time we get a warm-up, a singlet, anything that we need to have the logo put on for RMR, they do it at no charge. Saves us. I can't even tell you. You know, can't even, in my head, add it up. So thanks to Matt and congratulations to him. Kind of a neat national story called to my attention the other day. Amy McDonough, she's 34 years old. She won the Flying Pig Marathon. Mm. She ran it in 2:58. All kind of normal thing. Someone has to win a marathon. 2:58 is a pretty good time. It's a little on the slow side for a woman's winning time for a marathon, but it's still doggone fast. It's under 6:50 a mile. Mm. A lot of people would kill for that time. 34 years old, that's about the age, right around the age women win. Woman's legally blind.
Oh, my.
She beats 1,775 other women and to be the first woman across the line. She's completely, totally blind in her right eye. She's seriously impaired in her left. 100% legally blind. Son of a gun. She runs the race and wins. Really great story, heartwarming. Suddenly 2:58 sounds kind of fast.
Sure.
You know, when you realize that at a lack of a better term, it is a handicap. You know, close my right eye right now and try and close the left and off I go. Wow. that takes some getting used to. And obviously she is used to it because she ran under 6:50 a mile.
It's incredible.
Congratulations to her. Neat story. That was in Cincinnati. Of course, people may not know, but I come to find this out that was a big pig slaughter town where a lot of pig, you know, pork came out of Cincinnati. So the flying pig term. Kind of just slightly off base, but still on the running mode. I want to call out to really start with just my son, Adrian, who is the music guru in my life. He is the biggest music lover in my world, period. He has a passion for it like I had when I was his age. He's 22. He's always on top of the latest stuff. I think he's got fantastic taste. He gives Cynthia and I for birthday and Christmas gifts to the both of us each year. Mixes, which the best, I love the music he buys, downloads, whatever he does, and puts it on a mix for us. It's really neat.
That's great stuff.
And he turned me on to a band called Fleet Foxes. They're out in the Northwest. I think they're really one of the best bands today. They came out last week with their second CD. I've been waiting for it for 2 years. I've been waiting pretty much since he gave me the CD for Christmas a few years ago. I loved it. After 2 weeks, I say, when's the next one coming out? Of course, they've been on tour and blah, blah, blah. And so a call out to them. They're a mix between Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, and Simon & Garfunkel. If you like that kind of music, ballads with good instrumental and good listening music, stuff you second time you hear it, you're in love with it. They're great. Why am I talking about them? Because on their first CD is a song kind of appropriately titled for us around here called Blue Ridge Mountain. It is the ultimate, it's the best song since Stairway to Heaven to do what? To listen to and say, here's Coach Mark. Here's every coach who preaches this idea of warming up gently, working your way in, feeling better, blood's flowing, going a little faster, and then ending your run with a nice little cool down. Stairway to Heaven is the ultimate song. of all time.
Yeah.
Not a song to run to. I'm not saying put it in your iPod and run this. I'm not saying love Stairway to Heaven.
Right.
I'm not saying that it's my all-time favorite song, although I must admit I really like that a lot.
It's good.
My Era came out when I was a junior in high school. It was a song that was played at just about every school dance. Very hard to dance to, by the way, because you're dancing slow with someone. All of a sudden, you're like, at that age as a guy, all of a sudden you're breaking out into a fast dance. Like, dang.
I always get
uncomfortable. What am I doing here?
I remember
caught out here on the floor with this pretty girl, and I'm clueless as to how to move now.
Yeah, I remember those dances and being holding your date, and you're like 3 feet away from her as you're dancing. He's like, all right, we need that buffer zone.
Not today.
Yeah.
Not today.
Oh, yeah, I don't want to know.
This whole group grinding stuff. Oh, boy. Oy, oy, oy. But we're up on another tangent now.
I love Kashmir as well, but that's another thing.
Okay, so this is a great song, Blue Ridge Mountain. Download it, whatever, Google it, whatever people do. It's a beauty to show you about exactly the rhythm of what a run should be like. Starts out really slow, works its way up into a good crescendo.
Very cool.
June, it's the endless summer begins. I'm going to just lay out very quickly. I could almost do this as a funny kind of monologue, rush through it and make it say, come up for breath.
Right.
It's one of those types of things as I was writing it all down. But give people a heads up to all the incredibly diverse and number of things that are going to go on in June. But we'll start by just saying this Saturday is the Discovery Dash, last big race in May. Kids ages 3 to 12, anybody hearing this, we need help still. Anybody hearing this that has kids that would like to run it, come on out at Monticello High Saturday morning. All right. On the 4th, Keswick Hall. These are all not-for-profit events. These are events where 100% of the dollars, no one's being paid, 100% of the dollars are heading back to a cause. Keswick Hall, they put a run on every year for hospice. That's June 4th. Beautiful course out there. You get run on the property if you ever never had the chance to do that before. On the 5th, out at Old Trail, they're kicking off. They're dedicating the new cross-country course for Western Elmo. The Old Trail gang, Bates, and a bunch of the other folks out there, wonderful people, have said, here, we've got this property. You're right across the street. Let's be good neighbors. Yep. We've got a cross-country course. Thanks to them. A bunch of the mothers out there have been behind this and getting this initiated, a bunch of the mothers of the athletes. On the 11th, the men's four-miler training program graduates because on the 19th, is the men's four-miler. Mike, you've talked about this.
Yeah.
Finish on the 50. You're going to be out of town.
I'm actually going to be out of town.
Out of town. But guys, get your father, get your son, get your brother, get your neighbor. Get out there. Four miles.
Cool.
You can walk or run it. Finish on the 50-yard of Scott Stadium and see yourself lit up in the Jumbotron. On the 12th, the Run to Rebuild 5K. This is a wonderful new event. Great event for Habitat for Humanity, one of the local houses. Ham and a bunch of the other folks at Clay Fitness. They're out at Feather Ridge Farm. The woman who owns Feather Ridge Farm has opened the property up. It's going to be gorgeous, fantastic event. I would encourage people, really strongly encourage people to go out there. They're putting their heart and soul into this. Esther Lozano and a bunch of other good folk working on this. On the 12th, also in the afternoon, this is a pretty low-key event. We tend not to scream out too much about this. It's a smaller event, but we love people to come out if they can. It's a mile race for Bruce Barnes. It's a Memorial Mile, fastest mile in Virginia. Starts up in the Village of Greenwood and works its way down to Mirador, Lady Astor's beautiful old estate down there in Greenwood. On the 16th is the CTC track meet number one. It's an all-comers track meet over at Charlottesville High School at 6:30 in the evening. Anybody can come out for that. On the 18th, women's four-miler training program kicks off. Joan Esposito and company are at the park this year, not at the UVA track. That's through the Charlottesville Track Club. Wonderful training program that leads women up to it actually leads women into a lifestyle of exercise, but leads also to the women's four mile at the end of the summer. Also on the 18th, Timo's Memorial 5K. This is for a young man, wonderful student in Fluvanna, who was killed in a car wreck several years ago. He was a top-notch student, top-notch athlete, and that's held out in Fluvanna. His mom, Angela Husted, and dad, Mr. Wright from Channel 29, that was his son. Their son, they put this event on. On the 19th, we just talked about men's four-miler, Bill Steers, Alison Holt and company helped me put this this big event on. The 24th, actually 23rd, another track meet at 6:30 in the evening, the second meet of the summer. 24th, Vine Divine 5K in Barron Ridge Vineyards in Fishersville. That's done by the Waynesboro Parks and Rec Department. If you're into drinking wine, they're going to have it there for you that evening. 25th, Women's 4-Miler Registration, the race registration opens. and closes. Usually opens in one day, closes in one day. Wow. So women listening, put that on your calendar. Get online that morning. It'll open up and be closed that same day. 26 is the Sprint Triathlon down at Walnut Creek. You know, sprint meaning short swim, short run, short bike, but it's still a triathlon. Oof. Tough stuff. Quite a workout, quite a month.
How much in that triathlon, what is the exact totals for?
It's a 300-meter swim, something like that, 5K run, and maybe 12-mile bicycle ride, something to that effect. Also, the Wednesday track workouts, we're really revving up with that. Anybody listening, if you're currently running, reasonably fit, come on out and join us. That's every Wednesday morning, 5:30. We warm up and start the workout at 6 at the Shells Bicycle Track. Wow.
Busy.
Mouthful. So that's about it for the week. It's getting to be a good time of year, exciting time. I love the summertime. So we're really got a lot on tap, as you can tell. So thanks for listening. And stay on your feet. We'll talk to you next week.
This week's edition of RunCast was brought to you by the Ragged Mountain Running Shop, Central Virginia's community running and walking family partner since 1982. Conveniently located on the historic UVA corner with free parking at their doorstop. Visit them online at RaggedMountainRunning.com or make sure you friend them on Facebook, Ragged Mountain Running Shop. Walking on.